News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. This is the show where we take more in-depth looks at things that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. If you've heard about it on WSJM News, you will probably hear about it a few days later on Our Take. We get more in-depth look at these things that you've heard about. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we have discussed on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. We'd love to hear from you. We are all ears open to suggestions. And we've got a busy show today. We've got several guests lined up for today's Tuesday edition of Our Take. First of all, we'll chat with the Michigan Attorney General's office about the OK to Say tip line. With a new school year now underway, the Attorney General's office is reminding kids about this tip line they can use to report troubling situations that they might notice in their school. It could be something very serious that's very concerning, or it could be someone who's being bullied. You can report these things anonymously to the Attorney General's OK to Say tip line. And that will send things in motion to resolve that problem. So we'll check in with the Attorney General's office about that today. Also on today's show, we will hear from another candidate for Congress. Yes, I've spoken to three candidates so far who are running for the Democratic Party nomination in the 6th Congressional District, which is the district that we are in. The one that is currently represented by Congressman Fred Upton. Well, there are several Democrats in the running for their party's nomination to go up against Congressman Upton. And we've chatted with three of them so far, and we've still got two more to talk to. Today, we will have congressional candidate for the Democratic Party, Rich Eichholz, on the show. I couldn't just talk to one candidate. We're talking to all of them. And also on today's show, we'll check in with the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan. I mentioned yesterday briefly that they've started to help out with hurricane relief efforts by taking some dogs from shelters down south in areas hit by the hurricane. So we'll get a deeper look at that with the president of the Southwestern Michigan Humane Society. And then finally on today's show, see, it is a busy show. Finally on today's show, we'll check in with AAA. They have a study that they've recently released on how expensive it is to own a car in the state of Michigan. It's very expensive, needless to say. We'll find out about that from AAA on today's show. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. We are going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll just get into it. We will chat with a representative of the Michigan Attorney General's office. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host on today's show. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. If you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on Our Take, all you have to do is send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com, ourtake@wsjm.com. We'd love to hear from you. This is, of course, the Tuesday edition of the show. I hope that your week has gotten off to a good start. Last night, I went to the St. Joe City Commissioners meeting. It was actually a pretty short meeting, which I always appreciate. My favorite kind of meeting is a short meeting. Anyway, last night, I went to the St. Joe City Commission meeting, and they had a few things that they accomplished yesterday. First of all, they gave their final approval to Whirlpool's tax abatement on the tech center expansion. As you probably know, Whirlpool is planning to invest $35 million into the St. Joseph Tech Center, doing some renovations and also adding an expansion to it. And Whirlpool has asked the St. Joe City Commission to approve an industrial development district certificate for that property on Upton Drive. Last night, city commissioners gave their final approval to this after they held a couple of public hearings about it. Rob Cleveland from Cornerstone Alliance was on hand to talk about this. He told me now that they've given approval to this industrial development district certificate, That'll get the work moving.
The state has pledged their support to the project, and we're still working through some areas where we think they may be able to help. But the state supports the project, the local community supports the project, and now it can move forward.
So Rob from Cornerstone Alliance told me the Michigan Economic Development Corporation has signaled its support for this Whirlpool investment at the St. Joe Tech Center, and I asked him if there is a timetable for the work actually getting done.
Some of the work will start fairly soon, new construction probably in 2018. But yeah, there'll be things going on renovation-wise that'll start fairly quickly.
So it will be soon that you start to see action over there at the Whirlpool Tech Center in St. Joe now that the city has granted them a 12-year tax abatement. And what this does is it reduces the amount of taxes that they have to pay on new property added there. It's not as though they're just not paying taxes, but they get a little break for 12 years to help finance this project. And so that was one thing St. Joe City Commissioners did last night. Something else that happened last night was St. Joe City Manager John Hodgson gave everyone an update on the status of the bluff in the area of 2405 Old Lakeshore. You've heard about this. That is that area of the bluff where some residents noticed some erosion taking place. And they were afraid it could lead to a collapse of the bluff, which we know does periodically happen. And so the problem is there are some CSX railroad tracks right there. And that would put the railroad tracks in jeopardy, you know, if the bluff were to collapse. And so earlier this year, the city started reaching out to CSX Railroad to alert them to this situation. And finally, CSX started to take action. The railroad recently submitted some applications to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, as well as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, to strengthen the bluff over in this area along Old Lakeshore. And what the plan is the railroad is going to dump some very large rocks along the bottom of the bluff there, down by the lakeshore, to help sort of create a little bit of a wall there to keep the thing stable. Well, anyway, last night, St. Joe City Manager John Hodgson gave us an update on that. He said the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality has approved a permit for the work. It was actually dated yesterday. Up next will be the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers approving that permit, and they've told City Manager Hodgson they're going to. CSX is anxious to begin, and the reinforcement project is what the city manager told me.
I understand they'll be barging in a large rock, so you'll see a large barge come in and anchor close to the shore, and they'll place the rocks from the waterside.
So that work should begin very soon.
The permits should be in place by the end of the week, and CSX, they're based in Jacksonville, Florida, so they're dealing with some disruption at home right now, but their contractor's already mobilizing and expects to be on site next week to begin the work.
So that's good. The railroad is getting down to work very soon. They actually hope to have it done before the start of November so that they don't have to go all winter with that area of the bluff being in danger of a possible collapse. And as we know, sometimes sections of the bluff will collapse. In fact, just over the weekend, I watched a pretty interesting video on YouTube about a car graveyard below the bluff. Have you heard about this? Someone had told me about this before, but I wasn't sure if it was for real. Well, it is. Apparently, back in the 40s and 50s, roughly, people would dump old wrecked vehicles off the side of the bluff in St. Joe in a certain area to sort of create a little bit of a seawall down there. It's actually real. There's a video on YouTube of a guy taking a look at this car graveyard below the bluff. That's interesting. There's a whole video on YouTube about it. Somebody climbed down the side of this steep area. Now, I don't know exactly where this car graveyard is, but on YouTube, the video of it is titled Car Graveyard on Lake Michigan. So that was interesting to find out it actually exists. Anyway, so bluff erosion, that's something that's always been a concern around the city of St. Joe, and that's something that the city manager gave everyone an update on last night at the St. Joe City Commission meeting. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. Right now, because it is a new school year, because a new school year just started here in Michigan, I checked in with the Michigan Attorney General's office. I wanted to find out about their OK to Say tip line. The Attorney General's OK to Say tip line was launched in 2015, and they've representatives of the Attorney General's office and school district officials all over the state have held assemblies telling the kids about this, especially high schoolers. What it is, it's an anonymous tip line where you can report a suspicious or concerning situation in your school, and it will then be dealt with by the necessary authorities, whether it be the school's administration or even the police, depending on what the situation is. You can report bullying, you can report anything of concern that you might see. So the Attorney General launched this OK to Say tip line a couple of years ago, and it has since received more than 4,000 tips since its launch. And the way to reach it is to text message OK, the number 2, Say, or you could go to the website. And so I checked in with Michigan Attorney General's office spokesperson, Andrea Bightley, about the OK to Say tip line, just to give kids a reminder all about this service that exists. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Andrea, just to start off, tell us a little more in depth exactly what this OK to Say tip line is all about.
So OK to Say is a tip line and a phone app that's dedicated to making sure that Michigan students feel safe in the hallways at school by being right where they are on their cell phones. It's not very often you see a student in middle or high school that doesn't have a phone in their hands. And with the OK to Say app, which is available on both Apple and Android devices, they can report bullying or any violence they may have witnessed or something they may have seen that makes them feel uncomfortable. We've had students report guns in lockers, cyberbullying, regular bullying, you name it. We've had kids come forward and tell us about it.
Huh. So now I didn't know about the app side of things. Is this new?
I've had the app for the past couple years. It launched the same time as the program. And it's really great and really easy to use. Anyone can use the app. It just requires a little bit of typing, and it's almost like using texting.
All right, so you can get the app or you can text the number for OK to Say. But how often is it that you get tips into this service?
Sure. We've received thousands of tips over the last several years. And in June and July of this year, OK to Say technicians received almost 400 tips from students around the state.
All right. And so in terms of how OK to Say works, let's say a tip comes into it. What happens from there?
So from the moment a tip comes in, one of our specially trained folks that answers our calls will talk with the student, whether it's on the phone itself or by text or by email or via the app, to make sure that the student is, one, telling the truth. Sometimes kids like to prank OK to Say, but most of the time they are legitimate concerns that students have. And our technicians are Michigan State Police employees that have gone through a specialized training to help them talk with kids the way kids talk, whether that be, you know, shortened phrases or just making sure that each student knows that they're talking to someone that can help them. And then the next step is our technicians contact either the school that the student goes to or where they saw the threat occur. Or they contact community mental health in some cases. Some of the reports we get are either, you know, the child themselves or a friend of theirs is contemplating self-harm or suicide. In some other cases, we contact directly 911 or local police, law enforcement, et cetera, to make sure that the student feels safe and is out of the danger zone.
All right, and finally, the OK to Say tip line that the Attorney General's office runs. Is this a common sort of service? Do other states have things like this?
You know, Colorado has a service like this, and their program was based on the Columbine shootings that happened, you know, more than a decade ago, but are still fresh in the mind of educators and school administrators across the country. And we worked with Colorado's program and customized it to Michigan. That was one thing that Attorney General Schuette really strive to make sure that it worked with Michigan schools and it worked with Michigan kids and worked with Michigan families.
All right, that was Andrea Bightley with the Michigan Attorney General's office chatting with us about the OK to Say tip line. Now that a new school year is started up, I thought we should remind young people about the OK to Say tip line, which is a way that they can notify the, not just the Attorney General's office, but just authorities in their area, even the school administration, about something that troubles them that they may have seen in their school. It could be the possibility of somebody doing something violent. It could be some bullying that they would like to report. They'd like to see someone do something about that. It's an anonymous way you can report these things. It launched in 2015. It has resulted in thousands of tips coming in. And just in the month of June and July of this year, the line got more than 400 tips. It can be reached via text message to OK to Say. That's OK, the number to say. Or you could just go to OKToSay.com, or you could get the app. Apparently, there's an app for it, too. So that's the Attorney General's office. They wanted to get that reminder out to kids now that a new school year has started. And I thought I would help them because I know that all the teenagers listen to our take. I know the kids, they gather in the Walgreens parking lot after school each day and listen to this show. So what better place to get this message out? News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is our take. We're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we will check in with a Democratic candidate for Congress. I have promised to speak to all of the Democrats running in a primary to go up against Fred Upton next year. We've got Rich Eichholz lined up for the next segment. We'll chat with him about why he's running. And, you know, he's from Union Pier. I think he's the only Democrat in the running from Berrien County. And, of course, Fred is from St. Joe. Anyway, we'll chat with him next segment. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Stick around and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. This is the show where we discuss issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. Things you have heard about on WSJM News will come up sort of more in-depth here on Our Take. And so far on today's show, we checked in with the Michigan Attorney General's office to learn about the OK to Say tip line. The OK to Say tip line is a way for kids in school, especially high schoolers, to report potentially dangerous situations they might be aware of in their school. They can anonymously report those things via the OK to Say tip line. With a new school year having just started, the state attorney general's office wanted to remind people about this service. And what better place to spread that message than on Our Take? Because I know that all the teenagers listen to Our Take because I understand them. I'm hip. I can talk to the young people. I know that when they're not playing their Pac-Man video games or listening to their Duran Duran cassette tapes, they listen to Our Take. So I wanted to get that message out about the OK to Say tip line. On this segment, I wanted to check in with yet another Democratic candidate for Congress. I said before that we will talk with all the Democrats running in the primary to go up against Fred Upton. This is not because I want to push any of the candidates or even their party at all. It's just I talked to Paul Clements and now we're talking to all of them because it would not be fair to only speak with him. So we've heard from several candidates thus far. Let's see. We've chatted with Paul Clements. We talked to David Benack. We also had Eponine Garrett on here. We have yet to speak with Matt Longjohn on the show, but he's coming up. Right now, I wanted to talk with Rich Eichholz. He comes from Union Pier. He is a businessman. He's originally from Chicago. He runs a company that works on electric vehicle components. I talked with Rich Eichholz of Union Pier about his candidacy for Congress. He wants to run as a Democrat against Congressman Fred Upton next year. Let's hear that conversation now. Thanks for being with us, Rich. First of all, just to start off, now, have you been active in politics previously?
I was active last year. I was volunteering, doing some voter research for the Paul Clements campaign. But until then, I've not been active specifically in the local politics.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
So I'm a scientist with 30 years of business leadership experience in healthcare and a bunch of other technical areas. I started off in life with a degree in government, but ended up going into scientific field and business and marketing. And for a very long time, you know, I've had a keen interest in politics and tracking what's been going on in there. And I suppose, really, if I think about it, you know, the seeds for me getting involved in this election go back about 20 years when two things happened, I guess. One was I kind of fulfilled a lifelong dream of having a home in Southwest Michigan, which was always something that I had hoped to have. Mm-hmm. And the other was that I started, because of some of the work that I was doing in business, I started asking some questions of myself and then of data about the relationship between income disparity and economic vitality. And I've been tracking that for, well, since the mid-90s. And, you know, whereas a lot of people that have my kind of background in terms of business and so forth have been focused on reducing regulations and lowering taxes to try to drive business, I just really don't find that those are the critical factors for me. The critical factors are making sure that you're supporting new technologies, that you've got a healthy, educated, well-trained workforce, and that you have a fair balance between profits and wages, because companies need profits to invest and to grow. Mm-hmm. But if workers don't have wages, they can't spend money in the economy and keep the economy going that way.
All right. So in your view, income disparity is damaging the economy is one way to put it.
I think that's a succinct way of putting it. Yep.
All right. And so you haven't really been all that politically active in the past. What made you want to become politically active and run for Congress this time?
Yeah, so a lot of it is what I was talking about before, just this kind of I don't hear anybody really talking about what I think is a really important relationship, you know, between income disparity and economic vitality. I think it's an important connection. I don't hear that being discussed, and I think, you know, if we just go through another round of lowering taxes, that's just not going to get us anywhere. And so I've really just kind of had it, I guess. I don't know. You know, I think it's an important point, and I think the best way I have of making that point is by running.
All right, we're talking with Rich Eichholz. I chatted with him recently about his candidacy for Congress. He's a Democrat running in their primary to face Congressman Fred Upton next year in the 6th District, assuming Upton runs again. And Rich was telling me he's been disappointed in Fred Upton's representation of the district. He thinks Fred should meet more with constituents, and he wants to represent everyone. So up next, I wanted to ask him about the other Democratic candidates in the race. And now, what about the other Democrats running in the primary? We got Paul Clements. We've got David Banach. There's several candidates in this primary. Why should someone pick you over any of the others?
Yeah, well, my focus is on winning the national election a year from this November. I'm confident that I am the best candidate that's there to win that election. I believe that I have appeal both on the Democratic side, but also with at least some of the moderate Republicans. And I think I can win. And I think, I have a great deal of respect for every one of the other Democratic candidates. And I think, you know, most of them or all of them would even make great Congress people, but I think it's going to be really hard for them to win, because I don't think they have an appeal across the aisle. And this is a pretty centrist district. It's kind of hard to run from the left and actually expect to win. So, you know, I totally understand if someone is trying to make a point and they want to vote for someone because of their strong left beliefs. You know, I think my focus is in trying to help win the election.
Okay, that was a bit of my conversation with Rich Eichholz, a union peer man running in this Democratic primary, 6th District congressional primary. He wants to go up against Fred Upton next year. Ending there, he was saying he's more of a moderate, capable of winning in the 6th District than maybe some of the other candidates who are running. And so he runs a business that makes components for electric vehicles. This is the first political race in which he has ever been involved, and you'll see him campaigning around Michigan's 6th District. He's originally from Chicago, told me it was sort of a lifelong dream to get to live in Southwest Michigan, so that's what he does now. And he's one of many Democrats running. Here are the candidates. We've got Paul Clements, you know him. We've got David Banach, we've got Eponine Garrod, Matt Long John, and then Rich Eichholz, you just heard there. And we'll have Matt Long John on an edition of Our Take next week, I believe, and then we will have checked in with all the Democrats that have thus far announced they're running to stick it to Fred Upton next year, assuming he runs for re-election. And, of course, Democrats are feeling optimistic right now. They seem pretty confident that they can win control of Congress again. That remains to be seen. But, oh, there's been certain things happening in Washington, oh, since about, well, actually, November of last year, that have made it a strange, strange place. So there's lots of candidates in the Democratic Party, even here in Michigan's great Southwest. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Coming up on the next segment, we will check in with the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan. I told you yesterday about what they've been doing. They've been taking dogs from hurricane-affected areas around the country. And so I chatted with the director of the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan about that. We'll have that conversation on the next segment to round out the show. Finally, next segment, we'll talk to AAA about how expensive it is to own a car. AAA recently did a study on the cost associated with having a vehicle. Needless to say, it's quite expensive. And we'll hear a little bit more about that coming up on the next segment of the show. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We are going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll chat with the Southwest Michigan Humane Society. Stick around.
I'm a payroll services company.
Ah. All right. I mean, I think that covers my basic questions for now. Is there, you know, anything else you'd want to add?
No, I think that those are you definitely have covered the basics. What email address would I send the picture to?
It is Andrew at WSJM.com.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Tuesday edition of the show. We're getting close to wrapping up this edition of the show. So far, I gave you an update on what the St. Joe City Commission did last night. We also chatted with the Michigan Attorney General's office about the OK to Say tip line. Go to OK2Say.com. And find out about how you can report troubling situations in schools. Last segment, we chatted with Rich Eichholz. He's one of the Democratic candidates in the Democratic primary for the 6th District Congressional seat. We heard a bit about him and his candidacy. And for this segment, we've got a couple of guests lined up. First of all, I chatted with Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan Director Jill Savoda about what they are doing to help out animal shelters in areas affected by the recent hurricanes, in particular Hurricane Harvey. Already they've started to take some action to assist animal shelters down south. So I chatted with Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan Director Jill Savoda about this. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Jill, so the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan, you're doing something to help out Hurricane Harvey-affected areas. Tell us what you've been doing.
Well, it's a collaborative effort between a rescue in Muskegon, Michigan called Noah's Pet Project, mm-hmm. and Pilots and Paws, which is an organization that organizes private pilots with their private planes to move these dogs to a safe haven.
All right, so now you're not taking dogs that were displaced by the hurricane. Tell us what types of dogs you are taking.
No, we are supporting the rescues and the shelters in Texas. So what we did is we took the dogs that were already in the shelters before the storm hit, and we are clearing those shelters to make room for the pets that are lost and strayed out from due to the storm, due to the hurricane.
I see. So now, have you received any of these dogs yet?
Yep. We picked up our first 6 last night in Muskegon. So there are 6 of them here with us now.
All right. So the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan has been taking some dogs from animal shelters down in Hurricane Harvey-affected areas. These are only dogs that were already in a shelter there. They're not taking dogs that were displaced by the hurricane, because the owners of those dogs are probably looking for them. They're taking dogs that were already in the shelter and keeping them up here, and who knows, they might start to do something similar following Irma. So, Jill, as you've begun this sort of relief effort, how many dogs do you think you'll wind up with?
It's undetermined right now. There's a lot of organizations that have stepped up to help, so we are on a list and we are on standby. Again, A lot of this is done through pilots who have their own private planes, and they are donating their time, their plane, and obviously the fuel to fly these dogs to a safe haven. So a lot of it depends on how big their plane is.
All right, we're talking to the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan's Jill Savoda. She was telling us, she told me last Thursday the Humane Society made a trip up to Muskegon to pick up its first batch of hurricane dogs, and it was six of them. She wasn't sure how many total they'd wind up with. And Jill, next I asked her if the Humane Society needs anything more from its supporters with this new influx.
We do. We need some extra supplies. We need monetary donations. So we are asking, we do have a first giving page up for us to help to make sure that we have enough supplies once the dogs get back to us, blankets, bleach, towels, garbage bags, all that good kind of stuff. We are asking our supporters for monetary donations or supplies to help.
So there you go. That's the Humane Society of Southwestern Michigan. I just talked with Director Jill Savoda. She was telling us about some of the dogs they've so far received. Last week, they picked up six. Jill was telling me they're supposed to get more Hurricane Harvey dogs this week. It could be the number changes rapidly, so I won't get into that. But they so far have received six dogs. They're getting more, and they could use some extra help from supporters. If you support the Humane Society like I do, then you know, go to their website, make a donation, or bring by some supplies. They need all kinds of things as they get this new influx of hurricane dogs. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. We are close to wrapping up today's show. One final discussion for today. I wanted to check in with AAA of Michigan. That's right. AAA of Michigan recently issued a report on the cost of owning a car, the cost of owning a vehicle here in Michigan, and it's pretty darn expensive. So I chatted with spokesperson Susan Hiltz about that. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Susan, AAA has released this report showing the average cost to own a vehicle for 1 year is $8,800 per year. Tell us
something
about
that. Boils down to about $706 a month. So that's definitely an important cost for people to keep in mind when it comes to driving a vehicle.
So what did AAA look at when you made this determination?
Well, we looked at fuel costs, depreciation, maintenance, and repair. And I think what we really want to emphasize, too, is, you know, the maintenance and repair of your car is really important. You know, to maintain it, just to keep the value of it and keep your car running is really important. And to go to a certified mechanic is important also. And what we saw, too, is that the size of the car also has a big difference. We're seeing that the small sedan costs get closer to a $6,000 cost per year versus a pickup truck, which is closer to a $10,000 a year cost. So definitely some differences when you're talking about the type of vehicle that you're going to purchase and the costs that are going to impact your family budget.
Okay, and fuel was part of this?
Yeah, fuel costs vary significantly, but we did look at, you know, gasoline powers, vehicles, and also the electronic cars also. And we also are cautioning that using premium grade gasoline in a vehicle is really an unnecessary expense. So that's something to keep in mind. It doesn't make a difference with your maintenance. It, you know, makes a difference in the cost factor, but it doesn't make a difference in really making your vehicle run better. So these are just different factors, but again, these are important things to keep in mind when you're making a decision to make a purchase. So you can't neglect the scheduled maintenance because you can damage your vehicle, and it's important to just keep up with that so that your expenses for car repairs are on the lower side instead of the higher side.
And how about insurance? Is that factored in?
No, not insurance and not your car payment. So this is basically what it costs to own a vehicle. You know, so it's basically about owning and operating a motor vehicle. So that's what those cost factors take into consideration. So just important information for drivers across Michigan.
So $8,500 just for maintenance and gas to own a vehicle on average.
Yeah, and depreciation, we have to consider that too, because when you talk about depreciation, new vehicles lose an average of $15,000 in value during the first 5 years of ownership. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And again, if you have a smaller vehicle, it's not going to depreciate that large compared to like a pickup truck or a minivan or some of the larger SUVs.
All right, and so you mentioned AAA does this report every year. Is this reflective of a trend? Is it getting more expensive to own a vehicle? Has it gotten less expensive? Has there been a difference?
You know, what we're looking at is increase, like everything, the costs are increasing to drive a vehicle. So that's one of the factors just to keep in mind. And, you know, this is independent research, so it really is kind of shines a light on how much it costs when we're all driving these vehicles and kind of the true cost of what our ownership costs.
All right, and somebody looking to buy a car might want to consider some of this information before doing so.
Right. It's, you know, you can go to the AAA.com website and you can find this information, and it's always good to do a little bit of research before you purchase your vehicle to find out what those costs are, how they're going to impact your budget.
So electric vehicles, is there a substantial difference in the cost per year to own an electric car versus your standard internal combustion sort of deal?
You know, what we're finding is those electric vehicles are lower than average driving costs. So I think that's good news for folks who are making that investment, because you don't have a gasoline engine to maintain. Electric vehicles have lower annual maintenance and repair costs. And instead of relying on gasoline, they're relying on electricity. So that definitely is one of the pluses if people are purchasing an electric vehicle.
All right, Susan, give us that website again where you can get more information.
You just go AAA.com and you'll be able to find this, or newsroom.AAA.com.
All right, that was AAA of Michigan spokesperson Susan Hiltz telling us their AAA's recent survey found the average yearly cost of owning a vehicle is $8,500. That's for fuel and maintenance. Wow. So that's not even including insurance. Now, AAA does, of course, base this estimate upon the idea that you're doing all of the maintenance that the manufacturer recommends. And I know not all of us actually keep up on that. So maybe your maintenance costs will be a little bit less, but theoretically it should cost you about $8,500 a year just to own a car. That's $706 a month. And it gets more expensive each year, just like everything else. And of course, all the while, wages not increasing each year as they're supposed to. So a little advisory there from AAA. It is awfully expensive to own a car these days, especially if you stay on top of the maintenance. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We're wrapping up our take here. Time to end the Tuesday edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I have been the host today, and my name is Andrew Green. On today's show, we got an update on the St. Joe City Commission because they met last night. I told you what they did. We also got a little report from the Michigan Attorney General's office on the OK to Say tip line with a new school year starting. The Attorney General wanted to remind young people all about the OK to Say tip line, where they can report troubling situations they see in their school. Also today, we chatted with Rich Eichholz, one of the Democratic candidates for Congress here in the 6th District. Then we talked to the Humane Society of Southwest Michigan about what they're doing to help out hurricane-ravaged areas. And finally, just now, we heard from AAA's Susan Hiltz on the cost of owning a vehicle. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, that does it for our take. Thanks for tuning in. We should be back tomorrow, same time, same station. In the meantime, you have a great rest of your Tuesday.